Welcome, everybody, to this Culture Clash special where the writing is weak and we have many chimichangas. And, of course, that means it is the Deadpool 2 Culture Clash special. This is Kyle, and I've assembled my special X-Force team to cover all that is Deadpool 2. I put out flyers on the street, maybe a little LinkedIn, maybe a little bit of Craigslist response. And I got some interesting responses. And first and foremost, the first response I got was from, I think I do a podcast with this guy, the actual Culture Clash podcast. He's my co-host for this. But, he does a few other things, too. But for my special X-Force Deadpool mission today, we're going to call him the Vanisher. Mr. Kevin Reitzel is in the house.
You also forgot MySpace. That's how I got in on this.
But
I did answer your Craigslist just because I hear there's some wonderful people on Craigslist. So I did answer that. And also, too, we got to warn people, this is a spoiler reaction show. So if you have not seen Deadpool 2 yet, pause this, go see Deadpool 2, then come back and listen.
Yeah, typical Vanisher villain type giving out spoilers. What am I going to do? But you know what? It takes more than two to make a team. And every good team does need a good getaway driver. And in this case, we have got Alex Zettergeist, baby driver, Autry in the house.
I like the fact that you had me follow Kevin again.
Good. He's also affectionately known as the real co-host. I don't know where that came from. We're still trying to figure that out.
He is now known as Alex Baby Driver Autry.
Yes. Well, you're so good at it. But of course, we can't do a Deadpool special. I mean, it's un-American. It's un-Marvel. It's just un-Culture Clash to do a Deadpool special without the one and only Deadpool himself, Mr. Cat Cedar in the house.
Woo-hoo! Thank you very much for inviting me, guys.
Oh, well, as always, like I said, it's not Deadpool if we don't have Cat Cedar.
I will agree to that. Yes, that is true.
Cat, how many times have you seen it?
I just saw it this morning for the fourth time, and I'm going again tomorrow for the fifth time with my buddy Will. I would go with Kevin, but, 4,000 miles is a little too much to wait in line for a movie. So, yeah.
I've seen it twice. I saw it again this morning. Kyle, you've seen it once, right?
I have only seen it once. I've been busy editing things.
And baby driver Alex, you've seen it once, right?
I've seen it once. Okay. Yeah. I have a life.
I have a life as well. My life is watching movies, apparently.
The same one over and over again.
But
we know your love for Deadpool, Cat, so we'll let it slide.
Yeah. It was great. I could go in for the opening night and they're like, "You're gonna see it again?" I'm like, 10:30 show. Yeah, I'll be back. And I came back and like, "You're here again?" I'm like, "I told you I'm coming back. Come on. Ring me up. Let's go."
So we are talking Deadpool 2, which is many consider one of the biggest movies of this summer. And, of course, we all love the original Deadpool. Ryan Reynolds brought Deadpool to the big screen and just hit it out of the park with the first go-around. And the question was he going to be able to do it again? And I think we have our answer on this, as Deadpool 2 is broken the record for highest rated R opening movie in May. It's on its way probably to being the number one movie in the country. The final numbers aren't out yet, which will be officially knocking off another Josh Brolin film. You know, that little independent movie, Avengers. I don't know what's up with that.
Yes, it's a small film. It's okay.
But you know what? We all have our chimichangas, and we're here to talk a lot of Deadpool 2. But Kevin, before we get into all the greatness of X-Force, Deadpool 2, and everything else, can you conduct a little business for us?
Sure. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network and its master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. FPNet is also on the Podbean app. The Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, and Google Play. Also, search for Facebook here at Fandom Podcast Network. Head on over there. Join the conversations and give us a like. You can also email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. We are also on Instagram, Fandom Podcast Network, and on Twitter at FanPod Network. I'm Kevin. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix. Kyle, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at AKyleW and on Instagram at AKyleFandom.
Alex, where can we find you on social media?
Find me on AOL through their instant messenger. notverylikely.com. You can find me Seventh Row Center on Twitter and Alex7RC on Instagram.
Kat, where can we find you on Twitter and Instagram?
On Twitter, it's staticcat1, and on Instagram, it's actually just catsuda, but finding me on Instagram is very unlikely because I never use it. But you also find me on Facebook and staticcat, and on MySpace as staticcat.
Because we all know the importance of MySpace.
Yes.
Anybody got a pager number still?
I have a rotary phone.
I have a pager number. I don't know if it still exists. Same thing I had back in the day.
Also, visit TeePublic and search Fandom Podcast Network, and you will find some very cool logos of our popular shows there. And also, please head on over to iTunes and search Fandom Podcast Network, and please give us a review. We'd very much appreciate it. And 5-star would be even more appreciated. So thank you very much. That's where you can find us.
Kevin, all the cool kids are buying your T-shirt.
Nice. I hear you got one.
I got mine. Mine's in the mail.
Nice.
We appreciate that. You help keep the lights on.
Yeah.
So, guys, we've got Deadpool 2 out. And as much as I know we're all anxious to dive into the movie, I think first and foremost, before we talk about Deadpool 2 and the movie itself, we got to talk about the fact that I think there's about 4 different clones of Ryan Reynolds running around, because Deadpool is literally everywhere and has been for the last almost 3 months leading into this film.
Oh, yes. I think, Alex, you brought this to our attention first. This is where I first saw it, where I think Ryan Reynolds broke the internet or won the internet for the day for his appearance on a Korean entertainment singing show.
The Korean game show, which was insane. that was really outrageous. It was a Korean game show where people sing and there's celebrities under masks, and they were, and the entire time he's singing, they have no idea who it is. The judges are allowed to guess, and all of them got it wrong. And then he takes his mask off, and it's just Ryan Reynolds being Ryan Reynolds ass.
Okay. First of all, you got to paint the picture here. He's singing, Tomorrow by Annie, and he has a, unicorn mask on.
Yes.
And a rainbow cape.
And a rainbow
and a white suit as well, a white clothing,
yes. white cape with rainbow stitching, and that mask is going to haunt me.
Yeah, it'll haunt me as well until I get
it. Is a scary mask.
Ryan also showed up as Deadpool during the monologue of Stephen Colbert's show,
yep.
And mm-hmm. stole the spotlight, did a few jokes, which was very funny.
And then
he got Thanos'd. one of my favorite promotions was at Walmart, where on a display, they were selling a bunch of older films that are probably released and distributed by Fox, I guess, that does Deadpool, and decided to have a little fun with the new slip covers over them. Well, Deadpool was in many of these movies, such as, 16. Was it 16 total?
16.
Several of the X-Men recent films, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Mm-hmm. One of our favorites, Alex, was Revenge of the Nerds.
Predator.
Mm-hmm. Predator, The Terminator.
Fight Club.
What was that?
He had said Castaway. I had said Fight Club. We just said it at the same time.
Yes.
We
were both Castaway, Fight Club. There's also Edward Scissorhands. So imagine all of these movies with alternate Deadpool covers. And then on the back, it flips over and says, I wish I was in this movie.
All I know is until they put Deadpool into the Notebook, it's not complete.
Complete sets of these were already selling or trying to sell for at least $300 when these movies were about $6 to $12 each. Most of them were $6 each, but I thought that was brilliant marketing.
Oh yeah, that was the best.
I had to pick up several myself.
You know, if we had a Walmart anywhere near me, I would have went and bought them all.
Dude, I would have drove from Santa Barbara to Ventura for that Walmart.
I'm still thinking about going on Monday. I'm not kidding. Monday, I got a few things I had to do, and then I'm thinking, you know, it's only a 30-minute drive from here. I'm going to go down there and see what I can find.
Kyle, was there any other promotions that I'm missing here?
What was more like what wasn't Deadpool at this point? I mean, Alex Hodge, you're probably eating Deadpool French fries as we speak.
It's actually a Deadpool cookie, but thank you. of all the movie ones that that's on, a lot of them I really liked it, but I wasn't going to buy them again because I didn't want another copy. But I'm really irritated, and I would have bought another copy if there had been a Deadpool slipcover for Usual Suspects.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
You have the whole lineup, and Deadpool pointing at Kevin Spacey.
That would have been good.
No, actually, one of my favorite things, though, was Deadpool and Ryan Reynolds continuing their interesting thing with Hugh Jackman, as Deadpool showed up in Hugh Jackman's hotel room on Hugh Jackman's birthday. Yes. So, I mean, and Ryan Reynolds made appearances all over the place. It is so fun because Ryan Reynolds is so committed to this character, and and Ryan Reynolds, I've always thought his best is when he just can be snarky, funny, and just be himself. And that's what Deadpool is Ryan Reynolds turned up to the extreme. And ever since the first Deadpool and with the marketing of that, it's what Ryan Reynolds has done with this character, as far as the movie side of it goes, is just absolutely amazing.
Oh, yeah. Hands down.
I don't think I've ever seen another actor really commit himself to a role quite like Ryan Reynolds has for Deadpool.
And I think he was doing it even before...
since Van Wilder.
Since Van Wilder, but also unbelievably snarky and very sarcastic in Blade Trinity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
As Hannibal King. And honestly, I thought that was, or would have been, you know, I mean, just watching that, you can see the ramp up.
Yeah, totally.
To go into Deadpool.
Actually, another one.
Yeah, another one that I thought was a good one too was the movie Waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, at the restaurant?
Yeah,
yeah, I remember that. So. Yeah, that was funny. No, you guys are talking about it. My favorite one, obviously, was the Celine Dion music video.
Yes.
Oh, that's yeah, right. That was great. Good call.
That was great. Although I did find out that that actually was not him dancing on stage.
Do not make this Christmas again, dude. Do not do that to me.
No, that was definitely not him dancing.
Most
but,
definitely him. That was totally him.
Yeah,
I like how at the end he's like, I should have gotten NSYNC.
Yeah, no. You're doing it at 11. Can you bring it down to a 5? This voice does not do 5, Spider-Man. Damn it. Not that I've watched that a few times, too.
Oh, that's the lip sync battle we need. Tom Holland versus Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, God. No, drop the mic. Drop the mic. Ryan Reynolds versus Tom Holland.
Now, okay, there's one last thing I want to get into at special request to the Vanisher over here, because he has a very special tie to the director of Deadpool 2, don't you, Mr. Vanisher?
Oh, yes, I do. I want to talk about the director, David Leitch.
Wait, get it right. The man who killed the dog in John Wick.
Yes.
Yeah, David Leitch, I think that's how you pronounce it. It's L-I-L-E-I-T-C-H. He is the director, of course, the original director in Ryan Reynolds' departed ways. And David Leitch is a stuntman, writer, producer, and he is actually was one of the, even though it's not credited, he was one of the co-directors for the original John Wick film. And he helped with a lot of, he actually directed several of the scenes in the film did some, I think he played one of the bad guys too in the beginning of the film. But that's why in Deadpool 2, you see directed by the guy that killed John Wick's dog.
One of the guys that killed John Wick's
dog. One of the guys, yes. So he knows his stuff. He knows how to do action, and he knows how to do stunts, and he knows how to work with stunt team, which is probably why this film was a little more action-oriented, at least in my opinion. So he knows his stuff, and that's what that reference is from. And so I've become a big fan of his. He also did Atomic Blonde. He was a director for that as well.
Yeah.
That was good, too.
So, yeah, excellent movie in Atomic Blonde. And there's one of the jokes that's in Deadpool 2, which we'll get to in a little bit, that I find interesting, especially when you reference the fact that this guy directed Atomic Blonde. But that leads us into the movie itself. And I want to get everybody's first impressions of this film. And this was definitely a picked up right where Deadpool 1 left off. I think if anything, maybe they turned up the, we don't give a you know what about the humor and who we're going to offend up about five more notches time around. And the, especially with the all the comic book movie references, they hit it out of the park with that. But Alex, I want to start with you. What were your first impressions of Deadpool 2?
Well, first things first, I thought it was a bold choice to actually do a shot for shot remake of High School Musical 3. I thought that was really nicely done.
Stop.
There's a brief moment where everybody who's listening is like, wait, was it?
It could have been.
No, I you know, going into the film, I went in kind of amped up for it, and knowing that it's going to be a movie that when you have a bigger crowd, it's a better film. And I got in and sat down in my theater with eight people. And it was just like,
was it you and eight of your friends, and then
it was me and seven other people, and that was it.
Yikes.
Yeah. I went to a 2 o'clock on Friday show.
Oh, well, that
and but you know what? I went in and I had a bag of Reese's Pieces and an icy that was way too large for me that I'm still haven't come down from. And I, you know, it was a good time at the movies. That was the, you know, really enjoyed myself.
Yeah. Kevin, what about you? What were your first impressions coming out of Deadpool 2?
I was kind of hoping there would have been like an end credit scene, which there wasn't, but the mid credit scene definitely made up for it. So that's for sure. That's awesome. I was really excited about it. I wanted to go back and watch it again because there was so many back and forth funny lines that I couldn't hear on them because everyone was laughing from the previous one. I thought it was a fun movie. It was done well. It was not a disappointment for me. And I was kind of soaking in is what I just saw because of some of the direction that the movie took that I wasn't expecting. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a fun movie. And my theater was probably about 75-80% full on a Thursday night.
For the record, my theater was completely sold out, and it was a great crowd who got everything.
Was it an Ace AMC by any chance?
Yes,
it was a Regal.
It was a Regal.
Okay, I saw an Ace AMC. So yeah.
Yeah. And of course, I'm saving the best for last because I think the man who probably has the most feels for anything Deadpool, Mr. Cat Cedar, what were your first impressions of Deadpool 2?
I walked out and I said, I'm coming back because I have to see this movie again. This is.
Wait. You walked out of the movie?
No, at the end of it, after it was over. After the last song, after the screen went black, after everyone else got up and left. And I'm like still sitting there looking at the screen going, there's more, right? This is it. Oh my God, I need to see this movie again. Got up, walked out. Got some pictures taken of me because I was dressed as Deadpool for the Deadpool premiere. Went home, changed, went back, saw it again. And yes, oh my God.
You went back the same night, right?
Same night, yes. I went back literally an hour later to see it again. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to see this again. And I'm going to see it tomorrow, which I did. And I'm going to see it today, which I did. And I'm going to see it again tomorrow. Not to mention that I like this movie.
It sounded like you absolutely hated it.
Yeah, it was atrocious. I mean, I had people taking pictures of me and didn't like any of that. People giving me hugs, giving me money. It was terrible.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm worried about you and your self-abuse, Cat.
Yeah. I'm worried about the people in Santa Barbara asking me what movie I'm going to see when I'm sitting in front of the theater dressed as Deadpool. What do you see?
I feel pretty.
I feel pretty. What do you think I'm here to see?
The break-in.
So, okay, what I want to ask each of you guys next, because there is so much in Deadpool 2, there's so many moments, there's so many guest star appearances, there's so many things. Give me, and that goes with to each of you, and to give me a couple of the moments that just absolutely just stood out, whether they were shocking, they were that funny. Kevin, I want to start with you on this. I saw you relaxing over there. You got to put you to work, my friend. So give me a couple of the moments that just it either caught you so off guard because they went there, or just something shocking, or you know, just the humor.
A couple of the lines that Juggernaut said I thought was kind of shocking. but which we can't say here on this show because it's family friendly.
melting somebody down.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. The scene that I really enjoyed even watching again is after Juggernaut rips Deadpool in half, and he's back at the house with Al, and he's growing his baby legs. And that's when Cable comes for help, and just the whole reactions to everyone. And a little homage to the Fatal Attraction famous scene.
Oh, you mean the Basic Instinct scene?
I'm sorry. Yes, Basic Instinct. You're right. The Basic Instinct scene. Oh, that was just great. And it wasn't even an action scene, which, I mean, you know, I could talk about other stuff, but that one really stands out to me because it did have shock value as well.
Oh, yeah, it did. I cannot unsee that.
Ever.
No, that's just, yeah. What about you, Alex?
First of all, if that was one of his favorite scenes, I think we're going to have to get him registered. Hi, I'm Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
I'm just saying what you guys were thinking.
Actually, that wasn't what I was.
I can guarantee you I was not.
Yeah, no, sorry.
Yeah. Now we know why Kevin can't go to near elementary schools. Anyway, the big one for me was the beginning of the film and the death of Vanessa.
That was the big one. That was a big one for me too. Cause
that was right off the bat. Yeah. I'm like,
that was great though.
I've had 3 weeks of getting over Avengers and then killing off everybody I like. And now you're going to kill her.
It's just wrong killing Marina Baccarin in anything,
any situation. Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. Yeah, so that happened, and I'm just like, seriously, is this where we're going to go? And then, of course, they blew up Deadpool. So, very short film.
Yeah,
yeah.
Deadpool killed. Not killed.
Yeah,
killed.
I did like the result of the parachute scene.
Oh, yes. We will get to that. We're going to have a little talk on that.
But honestly, I think the Zazie Beetz. Beetz is Domino. She owned that film.
I will say
one. Yeah, we needed more Domino in that film, I think.
I'll say one thing. So, going into Deadpool 2, I was not pleased with Domino's look. I did not like the frizzy afro, because I'm a traditionalist. I love the straight, sleek, black, long hair that Domino's supposed to have. Just watching her play Domino, kudos. Love it. She did a great job. Her ability to act as a lucky character was top notch, right up there.
I remember that was one of your only complaints when you saw the trailers, was you didn't like the way that she looked because of the hair.
Yep.
But it seems like you've kind of forgiven that because of how her overall portrayal and how good she was.
She did an awesome job. I expected nothing less from her, but still, the fact of just the traditionalist in me wants to see the sleek black long hair look. But after seeing her do it and the whole thing, doesn't matter anymore. It's like seeing a black kingpin.
Yeah. So what about you, Kat? I mean, you can't say the whole movie. I'm sorry. We need a little bit more refining.
No, I have one that no one said. I was hoping nobody would have said it. Okay. Although you have to agree with Kevin on the baby leg scene. Scene. I have to agree with Baby Driver with the parachuting scene. But the one that I actually loved was the fourth wall break when he sees Juggernaut for the first time and he's coming towards him. And he starts spelling, he goes, you're my favorite superhero character. I loved you in this comic, nailing off the comics that he's been in with the fight scene with him in Colossus, the fight scene with him in Deadpool. And I always wanted to see you charging up to me and, you know, with that gleaming look in your eyes as I reflect off your hat, your helmet, and then being ripped in half. Oh, all right. Not now, though. that was probably the funniest, most interesting scene for me, because I read all those comics that he's in, obviously. And it's just like, that was hilarious. And then everything else in the movie too.
For me, I kind of agree with Alex. It's the X-Force parachute scene and the resulting things of that was just, it was one, it was hilarious. Two, it was absolutely shocking.
And unexpected.
I mean,
okay. You're talking like we're not spoiling anything. spoil it, man. Come on.
No, because we're gonna. No, I'm waiting because we're going to talk about the new characters in X-Force here shortly. So okay, I'm holding it for that. That down, boy, down.
Did you notice them?
Don't
formation now.
Well, no, we'll get to that. Yes, but you know, Kevin, don't make me have Blind Al watch you.
That'd be a very short show.
So the next question I have for you guys is, we've all seen it. Is it a worthy successor, do you feel, to Deadpool 2? I think I know the answer from all of you, but kind of tell me the reason why you think that is as well. Alex, let's start with you on this one.
Oh, good. I get to be the bad guy. I actually liked the first movie better. Because I just enjoyed myself more. And I think this is a movie that with a larger audience, with a bigger crowd, you actually get a better experience out of it. And with me, I saw it in the theater literally with 8 people total, and they weren't letting themselves kind of break out and enjoy themselves and actually laugh out loud at the inappropriate stuff or cringe loudly at the inappropriate stuff. Or say, "Oh my God," when the baby is crossing its legs.
One of those.
I think we did have one person shoot a beverage out of their nose during that moment. But for me, I really enjoyed myself. I thought this was a lot of fun at the movies. But in the end, I preferred the original more. Is this a worthy successor? Yeah, I think so. But I just don't think it had as much impact for me than the first one did.
What about you, Kevin?
I think that it was a worthy successor. I actually liked it more. That's my first reaction anyway, because I just watched the first one like the night before, so it was fresh in my mind. I really liked the first one, but when it comes down to it, there in the first one, there was really only 2 main action scenes. The end scene where he rescues Vanessa, and then there's the opening scene that they then do come back to finish up. This one, it seemed like it had a lot more going on, and I thought it was balanced really well, which I liked. Plus the addition of the new characters. Whenever you add new characters and do it successfully, I think is good too. And also returning older characters, adding a different light to when they were originally on in the first one. I love the TJ Miller character in this one as well. Dopinder, I thought Dopinder was great. Mm-hmm. So when you can bring back returning characters and give a new development to them, I think is a plus. That's why I am on the side of enjoying it more than the first one right now.
What about you, Kat?
To add on to Kevin's, I also liked the people coming back, but I also liked when Buck came back as well.
And who?
Buck, the guy in the bow that did the what does fine stand for?
Fat Gandalf.
Yeah, Fat Gandalf. Fat Gandalf. The one who said can't get any more talking lines in the movie.
Yeah,
he couldn't remember his line, and Deadpool's reminding him. I love the movie. It's a great successor. It's going to be great just in its own standalone. You can actually watch this movie without watching the first one, although obviously you want to watch the first one to see who some of these characters are. I actually will have to say I like the first one still a little better, only because I like the original. But the second one was right up there with it. I mean, there's like 9.9, 9.8, you know, right up there. And the only thing I also wanted to add also was the action scenes in the first one were better because they were spaced out more the way they were, the first and last scene. But there's also the middle fight scene too that was him becoming Deadpool, which is why I made it so much fun. As for that, I think it's both of them are great movies. I really, if you sit me down and watch Deadpool 1 and 2, sure, let's do it all day long. Yeah.
I think for me, I do believe it is definitely a worthy successor to the original Deadpool. I think where the difference lies between Deadpool 1 and Deadpool 2 is in the story. I think Deadpool's 1 story, as crazy as it sounds, had a little more heart to it.
Totally.
And it had...
Yeah,
I think what happened here with Deadpool 2, and I think it actually, and because it is a sequel, works. They knew they could take because of the popularity of Deadpool 1, they could just really fly off the handle with chances.
Wait, hold on. I take issue with that point. Have heart? This one, from what he did for the kid and the message from Vanessa about the what having children and what the what young children can do for people, and you know, going out of his way to even die. How can that's a lot of heart there. I hope you're not discounting that.
I'm not discounting that. I just think in this case, it's just how the story was portrayed. And I think the romance story works so well in Deadpool 1. The romance between Deadpool and Vanessa in Deadpool 1 worked so amazingly well.
And Deadpool and Francis.
Yeah, so yeah, yeah. Francis too. So but I think the story flowed better in Deadpool 1. But that, again, that's just personal preference. But one of the things I think for me with Deadpool 2 is, again, because they have had this amazing success with Deadpool 1, they knew they could take more risks, and they did some amazing things. I love the James Bond opening. The spoof of the James Bond opening was absolutely great. And you have funny. Celine Dion singing Ashes, and that was great. But I think there were a couple of points where they did push the humor maybe a little too far. And, you know, you talk about the baby leg scene. I even in the audience I was in, who was laughing at it at first, you could kind of feel towards the end of the scene, they're like, okay, they're pushing this a little far here on this.
And this like, joke has gone on for 2 minutes too long.
Yeah, basically.
But that's why, for me, I thought it was hilarious that it went on too long. The only thing that I had a problem with that went on too long was his death scene. But I think that was done on purpose. But the baby leg scene, I thought was hilarious because it did keep going, but then there was different aspects to it when the reaction, because each of them had their own reactions to it.
And I think with this one, too, and as crazy as this sounds, I think there were times when the extremeness of the violence kind of maybe took away from the film just a little bit.
One of the great blends of the first film is that you would have these moments of just sheer unadulterated gore fest violence with a wacky 1990s hip hop song playing in the middle of it. So it takes some of that away. You're laughing because of the ridiculousness of it. And I don't think that we got as much of that one on this film. I'm not saying that it wasn't a better film or one was, you know, better than the other. But I definitely feel like with the fight scenes, especially, you know, Angel of the Morning, opening song on the last one. And we're watching a guy get the wedgie from hell. You know, it's those little niches here and there that I think maybe are the kind of things that Kyle's talking about. Either that, or I have no idea what.
No, you actually hit it right on the head there, yeah. Alex. But you know what? I think the thing that really made this movie, and this is why I think Deadpool is such a worthy successor, and I think it's one of the ways that they grow this film too, is the addition of. You brought it up, Kevin. The addition of all the new characters. Yes, the old characters got their moments. You had a little bit more with Mopinder. I think people are kind of mixed on that. Some people really liked it. Some people not so much. I'm curious to know if TJ Miller's part was cut down any because of everything that he's been going through. Because it seemed like he was kind of there, then gone, then back again.
I bet it was.
Yeah, and I would be very curious about that. But without a doubt, all of the additions. And there, you know what? I have to be honest. There is not one new person to this movie that failed in this movie. Josh Brolin, I know some people were kind of knocking his cable a little bit, but I think he by the end of the film, he really found Cable and was really in that nice ground what Cable could be. Obviously, Zazie Beetz as Domino, I think, stole this film. I think absolutely outstanding. And so many... I got a shout out to Julian Dennison as Russell, because just watching this kid try to be gangster was worth the price of admission alone.
He was funny.
He was good. Good. But you know what it really is all about is it is about X-Force and what we have been feeding us about X-Force for months in trailers, which by the way, guys, the most misleading set of trailers I think I've ever seen in my life. And I think they did that intentionally.
It's either that or A Beautiful Mind. It's one of the two for me.
Yeah, there you go. But we already talked about Zazie Beetz as Domino, but we got Bill Skarsgård as Zettageist, who, if you're a fan of the comics, you know that there was a run of X-Force that was really, really weird that was done by Mike Allred of Mad Men fame. And Zettergeist was like one of the main characters in that book.
Isn't it Zeitgeist?
Zeitgeist.
I don't think there's an R in his name. I think it's Zeitgeist.
They are
silent.
However, introduced Zeitgeist, and he immediately gets killed at the end of the first. They introduced this whole new team of X-Force, and they kill them all off except for one character in the first issue of this premiere of X-Force. So that's going to play. I think that idea played a role in Deadpool, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Obviously, you've got the great Terry Crews showing up as Bedlam. You've got the wonderful Oscar-worthy performance by an Oscar-worthy actor of the Vanisher, Kevin.
Brad Pitt is the Vanisher, man.
You have Louis Tan show up as Shatterstar, but the man who, if it isn't Zazie Beetz's Domino who stole this film, it is Rob Delaney as Peter, who, Kevin, you were excited about as your favorite character in this movie film since the trailers.
Yeah, we're hoping to see some Peter cosplay at Dragon Con.
I'm sure we will.
But I thought it was really nice, though, at the end that Peter was saved due to the little time device. that whole parachute scene was very, very funny.
Wait. Hold on, Kevin. Before we talk about the scene, I just want to inform everybody. I just got a weather flash. We have high wind advisories right now.
Nice.
There was some other maybe non-recognizable guest stars.
yes. And that was one of the things I noticed with this film. And it's something I think because everybody has so much fun with Ryan Reynolds on this, is he's getting big name guest stars who want to be a part of this just because they want to be outrageous. But let's start with the first one, of the fact that Fox spent a little money on the budget and actually brought in the real X-Men.
That was great.
You saw the real X-Men from the recent X-Men films for like a second.
Well, that's probably all we could afford in the Deadpool budget.
Maybe 4 seconds.
Yeah, I would say about 4 to 4.5 seconds.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, that was maybe 2 seconds. No. You saw them before they closed that door.
When you watch that movie again, count off. I think it's about 4 seconds.
But it was long enough.
Little story behind that. They actually shot the X-Men shot of that several months ago during the filming of X-Men Dark Phoenix because they couldn't get schedules right for everybody, and they knew about it, so they just shot it and then eventually did a split plate shot with Deadpool opening the door. So that's how they pulled that off.
That's such a great scene.
But I think the most unrecognizable guest appearances in Deadpool 2, and I didn't even realize this until somebody told me and I had to go look it up because I didn't believe them, were of course the two rednecks who had their truck stolen by Cable. Of course, one played by Alan Tudyk.
He was the one on the right.
Right. And then the other one, and credited in the credits as Dickie Greenleaf, none other than the great Matt Damon as the other.
I didn't even recognize him.
I didn't either. Now,
Alex, I think Matt Damon's getting around in guest appearances in comic book movies these days.
Well, he has no choice. According to the Russo brothers, the actor of Loki was killed by Thanos.
Oh, that's true. So, you know, they were prepping the next stand-in. So.
They've got it. Yeah, yeah. I think it would have been cooler. I love that cameo for them because it's just such a bizarre sequence to shoot that shot. But I would have liked it if it had just gone ahead and done Tucker and Dale.
Now, that would have been amazing.
I think if they had done Tucker and Dale sitting out by the truck and then all of a sudden Cable appears, would have been awesome because your hardcore Tucker and Dale fans would have just lost their minds.
Yeah.
And now, nobody else would have gotten it.
Yeah. You had a question, Kat.
Did you guys notice the little theme music that was playing when they first introduced Russell, and they show the X-Jet coming in and landing?
If I was not mistaken, I believe I heard a little X-Men cartoon theme music in there.
I'm like, wait a minute, that's the X-Men cartoon? How'd they sneak that in? That was one of the best little cuts I heard. And other one, I was like, going, what? I don't get, why are you laughing? I'm like, it's the X-Men. All right. They did the thing with the Terminator one, too.
Yes. So that's what makes Deadpool work so well, is all those little touches. But two, and Kevin, you brought this up. some great performances by returning cast members. Obviously, Morena Baccarin is always great as Vanessa. T.J. Miller as Weasel. We had, of course, Blind Al back as well. But you know who I actually really enjoyed was Brianna Hildebrandt as returning as Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Yeah. I didn't know she went that way.
Yeah, she had a girlfriend. Played by Yukio, played by Shioli Katsuna.
And come on. Hi, Yukio.
Hi, Yukio.
There's so many great little things, and that's what makes Deadpool magic, as far as I'm concerned, is all these great little things. But I want to go back here. Let's put a little focus here on X-Force, because all through these trailers, we saw they made it appear like X-Force was going to be a big part of this movie. There's been all this talk that the next film won't be a Deadpool 3, but it might be an X-Force movie. But we're seeing all these shots, you know, Terry Crews is Bedlam. We see Shatterstar, who a lot of the hardcore comic book fans recognize. Obviously, Peter. And then it happens.
Zeitgeist.
The slicing and dicing of X-Force.
Yeah. And it's funny they did that, which was totally caught off guard. But if you watch the previews, they show Bedlam punching somebody on the street. They show Shatterstar fighting somebody with his swords. It's like, all right, cool. It's going to be great to see. All right, I guess that was better to see. I mean, what just happened here?
So then who's going to return for X-Force with new members, I guess?
Well, I mean, you pretty much had your set lineup at the end of Deadpool with Deadpool, Cable, Colossus.
Deadpool 2.
Yeah. Alex, I want to ask you, because I brought this up a little earlier. Very kind of misleading in the trailers. I actually like how they pulled that little trick off. Because for me, sitting in the theater I was in, the gasping alone that took place during those scenes.
When when Terry Crews landed and was immediately hit by a bus, I was like, oh, this is taking a different turn.
Oh yeah.
And then of course we see, you know, Zeitgeist fall into a thresher, which was very Fargo-esque, which was nice. It's just, you have these things, and Vanisher finally making an appearance. It's funny. I keep thinking back to the film, and I have no memorable quotes from Vanisher. Maybe it's just me. The whole movie is we were not misled, we were lied to. And what I'm fascinated by is I am not hearing the outrage of being lied to in the commercials, like we were when Abrams said, no, it's not Khan. It's a different character entirely. So I don't know. I guess if you sit there and say, well, we didn't say they weren't going to die horrifically. I was hoping that Peter was going to turn out to be Peter Wisdom.
Well, I think everyone was.
The great inside joke with that, though, if you look at the picture of Peter they hold up, it looks like that's who they were expecting was Pete Wisdom.
Yeah, yeah.
So that I thought that was a nice little touch. But I think one of the nicest touches I had, Kevin, is when Shatterstar met the helicopter and everything was green.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't get that reference. You'll have to explain it to me.
Shatterstar, from a different planet.
Hold on. Kyle, go.
Shatterstar's from a different planet. Remember, he said he was from, like, the Mojo world.
Okay, so his blood's different color.
Gotcha. He's got the spot color blood.
Okay.
But, I mean, Kevin, were you in, like, shock? Was your theater in shock when all this is going on? Like, what am I watching?
Oh yeah, but everyone was laughing so hard because they were pleasantly, as Alex said, pleasantly lied to, and it was a funny shocker, basically, especially when you got Deadpool going, oh my God. And then it's like, he's telling Peter to get out of the way. And then Peter's like trying to, who's the guy that spits again? Is that Zeitgeist?
Yeah.
He's trying to help him, and then he gets spit on and his arm comes off. Oh, so good. So good.
Yeah. Now, Kat, one of the characters I do want to ask you about that also kind of got a little cameo appearance. Was Black Tom Cassidy was in this film?
Yes, he was.
What were you, like, a little surprised by that?
Actually, I wasn't. Unlike most people in this world who love spoilers, I hate spoilers. And I like to read everything I possibly can about movies. Although I was pleasantly surprised by some of the stuff, especially the whole X-Force, everyone dying. So I knew he was in it. I knew the character was in it, which led me to know that Juggernaut was going to be in it. Spoilers. But I didn't know who the character was, who was playing him. I expected a very Australian-looking character, you know, like he looks in the comic books, not some buffed-out, muscle-bound, you know, meathead. Although,
yeah. Okay, guys, explain for those of us that don't know the comics who these people are.
Okay, well, you want to take this, Kat? You want me to take it?
All you, brother. Go ahead.
Okay. In the comics, Black Tom Cassidy is the brother of a longtime X-Men by the name of Banshee. And he's a career criminal, has a totally different look than what we saw in the Deadpool movie, but he is the Juggernaut's part. Him and the Juggernaut are like best friends and partners.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
So getting to that, let's talk about our two favorite new CGI characters. Of course, one, the returning Colossus. And of course, the introduction of the Juggernaut to Deadpool. And
oh, that wasn't Cannonball? You know, I thought it was Cannonball. It looked just like Cannonball.
How great was it to see Colossus get a chance to really throw down in this second Deadpool movie, Alex?
Really enjoyed it. I was upset because Juggernaut was actually spoiled for me. And it was spoiled by an online article from a company that I'm not going to name, but their website rhymes with comic book resources. Somebody posted, is Juggernaut the hidden baddie in the movie? And I'm like, man, if it is, I'm gonna be mad. And then he was, and I was mad. It was fun seeing him, and I actually liked the I popped when they said that it was Black Tom. I was like, oh, cool, you know, because I thought that was kind of a jazzy move. And then we got to see how racist Cable was. He should kind of rail it in, but you know. I like those appearances, and the Juggernaut Colossus fight was really, really something to behold. And I think that one's actually worthy of seeing on the big screen. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Kevin, I kind of hinted at this at the beginning of the show, the irony of that particular fight because of who directed this film and obviously what everything that happened with he did and the amazing fight scenes he did with Atomic Blonde. And Deadpool even gets the joke, get ready for your big CGI fight fest.
Yep.
Did you kind of get a kick out of that considering all the non-CGI fights this director has been
definitely, because, you know, when you look at the fight scenes in the John Wick, you know, movies, it's really hard to compare anything recently and how well those were done when you combine all the gung-fu and also the fighting scenes. But, you know, it was nice to see that he did put his little, his experience into a good fight like that, because it was dirty, which I liked. A dirty fight, not just your just hit and they're all falling back. I mean, it's very subtle, but I love that scene when Colossus goes down and he's getting that pole or that wire and he's wrapping it around his fist and then he comes up and hits him in the crotch or something like that. Yeah, I love that. And then of course the whole thing with pulling his pants down and sticking the thing up. It's just and then of course, you know, Deadpool finally getting him to say the F word
on his quote unquote deathbed. Now, one of the other things too is if the Juggernaut lives and is in the next film, I wouldn't want to be any of those guys because Revengers is not going to be pretty. Because what they did to the Juggernaut was not necessarily a nice thing.
The bulldozer.
Yeah, it was rather shocking.
Kat, you had something to say, Kat?
Yeah, the bulldozer is going to be mad.
Yeah.
Joke to it. If you look at the Wrecking Crew, which is Enemies of Thor, there's a character who wears a yellow jumpsuit and had a metal thing on his head and the metal around his neck looked just like Juggernaut. So when Juggernaut pulled off his sleeves, he looks just like the bulldozer from the Wrecking Crew, as opposed to the Juggernaut, which is normally wearing brown.
Mm. Now, the last thing I really kind of want to put a focus on here, guys, and it's a Marvel movie and it's a Deadpool movie, which means we're going to get credit scenes. And these might be the greatest after movie credit scenes I've seen in a very long time.
Best ever.
I mean, I love the fact it kicks right off, Kevin, with you've got Yukio and Negasonic, and they just fixed the time thing, and then they give it to Deadpool, and the Negasonic's like, that might not have been a wise decision.
Yeah. So the first thing he does is he saves Vanessa's life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Then he decides to go into Wolverine movie and kill off that Deadpool version, right?
Got to correct the timeline.
Yep. Then he decides to go to visit Ryan Reynolds. Am I missing a scene here?
Nope. No, you're right. As he's reading the Green Lantern script.
Yes, and put now? A... What's that, Kat?
We're in the big times now.
Yes. Then puts a bullet through Ryan Reynolds' head. What else am I missing?
You're welcome, Canada. You're
welcome, Canada.
Yeah.
Alex,
funny.
What were your thoughts on these end credit scenes? Because I think they were some of the best parts of the movie.
Genuinely, the biggest laugh that our theater got was him showing up and taking care of Wade. And that was that moment from Logan, because you get that pan up and you see the whole thing. And we were all laughing. Everybody in the theater was laughing out loud at that point. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's shot and killed and shot again and shot again and shot again.
That was from the movie X-Men Origins Wolverine, right?
That's correct.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That was a pretty funny moment. The killing Ryan Reynolds while looking at the Green Lantern script, thought was a little over the top, but I get it. And because I think it could have just easily gone with him tearing it apart and handing him a copy of the movie The Proposal instead. You know, or something like that, you know. But yeah, I mean, we get it. You know, we say this. My question is, of course, he saved Vanessa, which means that now he doesn't do anything about Russell, which means that Russell becomes a villain, which means that Russell kills, you know, it's like, wait, no.
It's a whole timey-wimey thing.
It's a timey-wimey
it's
thing.
It's getting really wibbly-wobbly in here.
Yeah.
Time travel.
What about you, Kat? I mean, I'm thinking of the paradox of alone of the fact that he basically killed himself twice.
He did kill himself twice, and that makes you wonder, how did he make Deadpool?
Yeah, Deadpool never existed. This podcast is not really happening, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, the one thing I did like, I don't know if you guys, I'm assuming all of you stayed to the very, very end, right?
Yes.
And you know, you notice the song changes at the end. It becomes the Juggernaut song.
Yes, I did catch that. That was quite entertaining.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, it's not really a end special credit scene. I mean, you don't have to stay for it, but it was just cool. Like how they brought that back and finished off that song. I'm like, oh, okay, that's the end of that song. Cool, thanks.
Yeah, no, again, what makes Deadpool is all these little touches. And, you know, it's been a blast talking with you guys about Deadpool. I kind of want to go around the horn and get everybody's kind of, you know, final thoughts on what they saw with Deadpool on that. Alex, let's start with you. What's kind of your final thoughts on Deadpool 2 and what might be coming next?
You know, I enjoyed myself with it. I thought it was a fun time at the movies. It's a good popcorn flick. And really, if you're still grieving over what happens with the Avengers, going to see this will make you feel a little bit better up until Vanessa dies and then all of the members of X-Force die. You know what? Don't go see this movie if you're still grieving over it. But other than that, it was a good time at the movies. It's a fun experience, and I can certainly see going back again with some friends. I'd actually like to see the movie with a bigger crowd. I think that's going to be the big difference.
Have you tried a different theater?
You tried a different state?
Get bent, Kevin. We know why I go to that theater. And how much did you spend on tickets, Kevin?
Wait, Alex. Did you have peanut butter crackers, though?
No, I did not bring any peanut butter. I had the Reese's peanut butter or the Reese's pieces and the oversized icing. We've already mentioned that. My mother brings the cracker. So,
what about you, Kat? We all know your absolute love for Deadpool. Give us your final thoughts on Deadpool 2 and maybe what you think might be next with Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool. Is it going to be Deadpool 3 or are we going to get X-Force?
Honestly, loved it. Tell people to go see it. Everyone needs to see this movie at least four or five times in their life. But what I think is going to happen, and this is just my own opinion, is that they're going to start making the cameo movies, Deadpool and X, and then eventually make X-Force as well. So I'm looking at like an X-Force 1, X-Force 2 with Deadpool in it, obviously, building up those characters so they can make their own franchise like X-Men, and then having like a Deadpool Cable movie. You know, maybe like the one with like the split second comic where they go through time and space and fix all the errors. That would be a great movie. Stuff like that. Deadpool Spider-Man, Deadpool Hawkeye. Deadpool Hawkeye, that'd be great. But no, I see a lot of cameo movies coming out. So that's where I think Deadpool's going to go to next. Because, I mean, they could keep telling the same story and follow comics and be great with it, but they need to do other things, add other characters. Again, Hawkeye, Spider-Man, you know, stuff like that. Wolverine, that'd be awesome too. Make Hugh Jackman come back.
Well, Hugh said he would put the claws on one more time if he can work something out to make an appearance in a Deadpool film.
Maybe Deadpool and Wolverine. So, I mean, that's
there you go. Now, Kevin, Cap brings up a good point, and I'm curious about your thoughts on this, and as well as your final wrap-up of Deadpool 2. We know what the status is of Fox and Disney, and that, I mean, the sale isn't final, but it's looking good, and we know that's going to have a major effect on possibly what happens with Deadpool. Disney and Kevin Feige have said, we're leaving Ryan Reynolds alone. He's coming over. We're not touching this. This is a gold mine. Everything's perfect if this everything goes right. If this happens and everything goes through, do you think we see Deadpool in an MCU film?
I don't think so. I think that Deadpool and its universe needs to stay within it because of you can't do Deadpool, maybe make a cameo, but it's going to have to be a PG-13 version of it. I don't see him as a regular, you know, member of any MCU. Now, regarding future films, when I was looking up Zazie Beetz, IMDb, X-Force is announced. And when I looked at Ryan Reynolds' IMDb, not only is X-Force announced, but also Deadpool 3, in addition to the Hitman Wife's Bodyguard and Clue for Ryan Reynolds.
Yes, and Clue has already been said. Clue, the remake of the classic Tim Curry movie.
I love that movie.
Clue. And Ryan Reynolds is already saying he is planning to make that a hard R film.
So to answer your question, not maybe in a cameo would be kind of fun, but I think you need to keep the Deadpool universe with the hard R by itself with some clever guest stars and stuff because, you know, it just seems to feel better. And like you said, I think that I think Disney realizes that it deserves its own platform. And I'm really looking forward to any more Deadpool that we see from Ryan Reynolds because, as we touched on earlier, I don't think anyone has really promoted and just embodied a certain character to the certain degree that he has. Of course, some people, I mean, Hugh Jackman has played Wolverine in like 6 or 7 different films now. And he's done a really good job promoting, but when it comes to commercials and just doing weird media and awesome promotions, I don't see anyone that really is Deadpool. I mean, Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool. And I want to see this movie again for a lot of the lines that I still missed even on the second time around. it's just, you know, and I love the music in it as well, the songs that they chose. I just thought it was, yeah, 9 to 5 was just a great one too. Yes. I mean, oh, that was hilarious.
Hit it, Dolly.
And it was just very, very entertaining. And I think Alex said it best. It's a really good popcorn film, to enjoy seeing again with friends, and it's totally worth it.
Yeah, no, I agree with what everybody here has said. Deadpool 2 is absolutely an worthy successor to Deadpool 1 and continues just making this an absolute fun movie franchise. When the numbers come out on this, it's going to just instantly prompt any doubt that there might have been about a Deadpool 3. I think Deadpool keeps getting made as long as Ryan Reynolds is willing to do Deadpool, and I think Deadpool is going to be until Ryan Reynolds physically can't do it anymore.
So never.
At this point.
Never. Is that what you're saying? Never?
Well, if he has Deadpool's real superpowers, but
oh, they'll just clone him and make another copy of him, and then make him a little younger, and you know, like, yeah.
What? But it's also interesting to see what the future of Deadpool brings because of what could be happening with the Fox movie franchises with Marvel and what could happen there, what could not happen there. But what makes Deadpool so great is that it knows what it is. It's not afraid to be what it is. This movie, one of the things that I love so much about this movie is it was not afraid to even poke fun at the comic book movie industry, whether it was successful things or, you know, you're so dark, you're from the DC universe. Mm-hmm. Alex, you got something to add in real quick?
There's a moment in which Deadpool actually references, I believe it was a hack artist who couldn't draw feet. And I fell out.
That was hilarious, wasn't it?
And if there had been any mention of pouches on everybody, I would have been perfect.
Kevin doesn't get it.
Yeah, but however, I know Kevin did get the reference when he calls Cable Thanos. I think everyone got that reference.
What they're talking about is nice. Rob Liefeld, Kevin. He draws really huge bodies, little bitty heads, and never draws feet.
I know who Rob is.
Yeah, you never see his feet in comics. Or very rarely do you ever see him.
Kevin just remembers the Levi commercial. You created X-Force? But... Now, one of the great things about Deadpool 2 is it gives us something that's a totally different fanfare than any comic book movie we've got right now. And, you know, we look at this summer with Avengers out. We've got all these Marvel movies and Marvel being so successful. We've had DC have a huge success with Wonder Woman. They're still trying to get things right otherwise. But Deadpool knows what it is. It's not afraid to be what it is. And it's something so different. And it's one thing that I think makes the comic book movies so great right now is there's something for everybody. You know, Kevin, we've kind of learned this through our experience of the Marvel movie countdown and recently on our Culture Clash, the ranking of the Marvel films and how different in ways our lists were, but we weren't wrong. It's because all those films are enjoyable. It's just how you choose to enjoy them.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is one of those films too, that I think is coming out at the right time, you know, and like Alex said, it's kind of a fun therapy out of, you know, what happened after Avengers Infinity War. And then we're going to go right into Solo, but I still see people coming back for Deadpool.
Yeah. But I think Deadpool is one of those movies that it has great rewatchability because of what it is. And it's going to be a getaway film for a lot of people this summer, because I mean, as great as Avengers: Infinity War is, there is a heaviness when you walk out of that film. And our good friend Jennifer Walk is getting ready to go on vacation. She said she was doing a double feature. She asked which one to watch first, Avengers or Deadpool, and we were both like, watch Avengers first, then go watch Deadpool.
Yes.
But I want to thank all of you guys for joining us on this Culture Clash special edition of Deadpool 2. I've got my X-Force team here. I promised I only maimed them a little bit during the recording of this podcast. There were no helicopter blades involved, wood chippers, acid spit, nothing like that. There might be some gas from some chimichangas. I don't know about how everybody reacts to those, but it's just been a pleasure, guys. Deadpool 2 is an amazingly fun film, and Ryan Reynolds has created something very special here. So, before we close out this show, Kevin, let's talk a little bit about what else is coming around on the Fandom Podcast Network, because we got some very fun things coming.
Yes, of course, we have our flagship show, Culture Clash, that you and I co-host, sometimes with Alex Baby Driver Autry and Michael Morris. Our weekly fandom show, all news and geeky news and reviews and such. We also have Blood of Kings, the Highlander podcast that Norm and I co-host. We also have the Discoville podcast, which is the Star Trek Discovery and Orville podcast. And currently we're doing a rewatch of season one of the Orville. Couch Potato Theater, your favorite movies you just don't get off the couch for when they come on. And even though you might have the Blu-ray or DVD special edition, you just watch these films. And up right now we have Mad Max, the original Mad Max for... Maximum Couch Potato Theater that Adam P. O'Brien is hosting, and we're going to be doing Road Warrior next. And also coming out very soon, we're going to have The Hidden, the 1987 sci-fi cop buddy cop classic with myself, Aaron Gill, and Blair Hiscock from Pops Culture. We also have Time Warp. We're celebrating the movies of 1985. Part 1 is out. Part 2 is about to come out. And we also have Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast. podcast with host Tom, Brandon, and Chris talking about the master of suspense, Alfred Hitchcock. And we have The End Zone. We have a off-season special that you and I just recorded, Kyle, coming out very shortly. And coming soon, I'm going to be hosting the Hair Metal podcast.
Yeah, you know, where you guys are going to talk all about hair gel and hairspray and the effects and benefits of all of that, right, Kevin?
And conditioner.
Yeah, just that.
And conditioner.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, guys, I don't know about you, but I think I have room for one more chimichanga, so I'm going to go throw one in the microwave. But again, thank you all so much for being part of this very fun show. Don't try to blow yourselves up on gas can barrels. I promise it won't work quite as well as it does for Deadpool. I like you all too much, so don't do that. But I think there's only one appropriate way to close out this podcast, gentlemen. Hi, Yukio. Thank everybody for listening. Have a great night and enjoy your fandom.